What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
You're tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Banshee After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Talking about Season 3, Episode 9. Even God doesn't know what to make of you. I'm Matt Lieberman. Joining me as always, fantastic panel is here. Mr. Monis Rose is here.
Hey, what's going on?
Oriana Leo is here.
Hello, Fanshies and Fanshie Babes.
And Isaac Johnson is here.
Hello as well, Fanshie Babes.
Yeah. Whoa!
I did it.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. Hey, Britt is going to be tweeting every time we say Fanshie Babes on this cast.
Really?
And that's three times already.
Oh, boy.
Fanshie Babes?
Four.
Fanshie Babes. We also have a fantastic guest here, Mr. Langley Kirkwood, who plays Colonel Stowe on the show. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, and hello, Fanshie Babes.
Yeah! We're all doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just so no one has it twisted, at the top of the show, you could kind of hear Langley say something. He was not saying that he dies on the show. He was answering a question of ours, and it is in no way contextual. It has nothing to do with the show.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing to do with this.
We're talking about something else completely different.
Something entirely different. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm dying a little bit inside trying to maintain this, like, happy face, like, trying to do this bit right now and knowing that it's tanking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps we should find out what's going on with you, Matt Lieberman. There's...
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So, just so anyone who's watching doesn't think that you've... It's been a while.
He aged 20 years since we last saw him.
Yeah. There was a 20-year gap between episodes 8 and 9. No, at work today, we were shooting a Tomorrowland parody, and I was playing George Clooney. I didn't have time to get my makeup off, so I'm still Cloonified right now. But... this episode,
yeah.
Great episode.
Yes.
Now we
awesome
talked.
Episode.
We talked last week with Greg Utanis about how, you know, in many ways, last episode could have been a season finale.
Absolutely.
And this episode was entirely about a paying off Kai's journey over this whole season and setting up this must be epic finale. How'd you feel about it?
I felt great about it. I like seeing the Job Hood sort of like they're like exes, like kind of like maybe on the ropes there. Mm-hmm. Like thought that was really fun.
Yeah.
I was blown away at the amount of information that was introduced in this episode. Mm-hmm. I was excited but also kind of mad. You can't take this all away after one more episode. I want to know so much more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited, but now I'm already having Banshee sweats for season 4 and it hasn't even started filming yet.
You know, this episode in particular, but this show in general, things do not linger. You know, I mean, yes, the robbery, the heist happened and boom, it was like point after point after point of every prediction that I wanted was fulfilled and is being fulfilled, especially in this episode. I mean, yes, you had the backstory. Kai went full circle. I mean, you know, Gordon is getting back on track. I mean, Stowe is becoming even more of a madman. I mean...
I think he's already mad.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
Triggered.
Kai, we need to talk about that.
Yeah.
You got them all wrong.
Really? Do we have them all wrong, Langley?
Yeah,
please elaborate.
Well, you know, this guy's, I think the thing that we focused on before we started shooting the season, what Greg and Jonathan and Adam Targum wanted me to focus on a lot was his post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously how that has affected him. And Stowe actually goes into it in the disciplining Haddock scene.
Mm-hmm.
Just before he actually launches into beating the crap out of Haddock, he's telling him about what happened back in Afghanistan, mm-hmm. where he lost his whole team, and he was doing some kind of black ops operation, some mm-hmm. kind of unofficial thing, and he felt let down by his government.
Right.
And obviously losing his whole team, him just surviving, there was all sorts of trauma involved in that. And I guess the question is, how far did that affect him? How deeply did that affect him? And in which way does it kind of manifest, itself? And I think, it's fair to say that there's some kind of psychosis that has developed.
Sure.
I guess as a result of severe PTSD mm-hmm. That he's transformed into this monster.
I would just guess that he also has severe brain trauma as well. Like that slide into psychosis might have been aided by getting rattled many times.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, he ran an elite team for so many years, mm-hmm. obviously there's been a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
A lot of maybe one explosion too many next to his head.
Yeah, or maybe being shot with a 12-gauge shotgun and still coming...
Three times in the chest. Yeah.
Hey, look, yeah.
He had a bulletproof vest.
There's Kevlar,
on.
Really great Kevlar.
How many layers of Kevlar? Like Kevlar and then also stone, Kevlar and concrete.
He's a hard man.
Yes. I bet you it's the abs.
Yeah.
Oh, it's power abs.
Oh, man.
It's interesting.
Abs of steel. Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
It's interesting to hear you say that, though, Langley, because you're painting a very interesting parallel between you and Chaitin.
Yeah.
Chaitin, who felt that society had let him and all of his people down, that had cut down so many of his people, and mm-hmm. that he was going to take something back.
Well, that's it. That's how he feels totally justified in stealing the money from the government. He doesn't mm-hmm. see it as stealing. Mm-hmm. He sees it as, I guess, compensation for what's been done to him and how he's been wronged, and he's just getting a bit of his own back.
Right.
Taking it for himself.
Yeah, I kind of see him as like a bit of a patriot too, or at least in his mind, that's kind of where he's
absolutely.
At.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when you're playing a character like this, you have to find a way of falling in love with him, and you have to find a way in there in the first place. And I do think that at some stage in his life, he was a serious hero.
Mm-hmm.
He really was a patriot. He 100% believed in what he was doing and believed that it was the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the line, I think this happens so much to so many veterans where they do, through doing their heroic duty,
mm-hmm.
they unfortunately do, they get altered, man. And
and
a lot of them never come back mentally anyway. The ones that do come back physically are often, mm-hmm. they're not the same.
Right, yeah.
Can I ask you a question? Is the relationship with Carrie, which obviously not in the best place right now.
No.
Was that his first real romantic stab at things since he came back?
No. Okay. No, look, I think he's quite a physical guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think sex for him is part of his the physical kind of fulfillment that he needs and kind of he's an exercise addict without a doubt,
mm-hmm.
and I think sex is just kind of part of that, and I think he probably has numerous sexual partners
mm-hmm.
Over time, but for the most part casual sex. I think Carrie was an exception, where she actually got under his skin,
mm-hmm. right?
Where for her, I think he's satisfying.
Right.
He's man meat.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
He's power up.
Exactly. But, but Carrie, with her, because she's such an incredible energy, he falls for her. He mm-hmm. really, and so because, of course, there is that thin line between love and hate.
Yes.
Right.
When he feels so completely betrayed by her on the different levels, both romantically and because he realizes he's been played.
Right.
You also, you just actually mentioned a lot of similarities from your character to Hood. I mean, those are very similar. I mean, Hood is this wolf that, I mean, especially it seems sort of in some of the previous episodes that he just wants women for women. I mean, yes, he has changed some ways, but, he's a fighter. He has gone through there, maybe not in war, but he has gone through some post-traumatic stress in ways. I mean, your characters are very, very similar.
I think there's the key difference is that with Hood, there is an awareness of the change that's gone on in him.
Yeah.
and an acceptance almost.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A resigned kind of acceptance to it. Yeah. But he just gets on with it. Whereas Stowe's, there's a denial there. He really thinks he's 100% in control for the most part until he, you know, he starts having these little voices in his head.
And we saw some of that last episode.
Well, and then even earlier on with the mirror shot where it's like a blurry shot like over the shoulder where it's kind of like him losing focus on himself.
Yeah.
It's so funny. The great point you made, Manas, because I wrote down the same thing with Hood about PTSD because of the blurry vision and the echoes of the siege on the caddy that he seems to be fraying a bit at the edges, which he should be at this point, I guess.
Yeah. But it's also what makes them such an interesting combination for what is ultimately going to be an incredible fight next episode. Mm. I mean, it's got to happen. But it's just like the way that you physically you're portrayed on the show, you're like a walking man weapon. You're the Terminator.
Yeah, the T-1000.
You're the T-1000. 100%. Yeah. In episode 7, down in the tunnels, when you just come out of nowhere and it's just like all like massive limbs.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like a mech.
Also, the experience for us watching that with the YouTube, with the GoPros.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was and the head cams.
It was terrifying. Mm-hmm. It felt like fighting you, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Good.
Let's talk about Stowe's relationship with Leo, his head of technology.
Yeah. You know, these are two guys who... Dennis Flanagan, who plays Leo, he and I, we spoke about this in depth, and with the writing team, and with Greg, and with Lonnie. There's no love between these two guys.
Mm-hmm.
They are thrown together because they need each other. I think, you know, Stowe has found the best guy that he needs to do what Leo does. Mm-hmm. They both kind of grudgingly accepting each other because they need each other.
Mm-hmm.
A marriage of convenience.
A marriage of convenience, absolutely. And you'll see in the finale, there's a very interesting twist to it. With regard to Leo.
Well, it seems like Leo, he just wants to find out about Joe. He really doesn't...
Right.
He's got a hacker crush on
him. He's got a serious man crush on him.
Well, first of all, I think the actor is phenomenal. I love his performance. He gets so excited when he's talking about Joe, but didn't quite put it together until the end.
Yeah.
I'm really scared for Joe because I wouldn't want to be drugged, beaten and handcuffed by my ultimate fanboy.
Right. It's like Misery or Swim Fan, but they're both dangerous hackers, probably both with great fight skills. Isaac?
Maybe. I don't know. We haven't seen his fight skills yet, but he's got a
serious... creep. If you're going to use double the sedative. I mean, he did a good job, but that's pretty cool.
Well, and he says, like, he's the hacker. He's not a hacker. And this is like, he's starstruck pretty much when he meets him.
Yeah.
It is the interesting piece of trivia.
Mm.
He and Tom Pelfrey are very good friends.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Back in the day.
Yeah, Tom said that. Not when we were taping, but he told me that. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
What are the chances?
Yeah, what are the odds?
And we'll be talking about Tom's character a little bit later in the show. So you guys quickly move against the team once he has found our dummy IDs from the security company.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And it leads immediately back to Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really scared for Sugar watching the two of you.
Yep. Oh,
and he nearly bought it with that. Like, that gun was the size of Texas.
It was a crazy gun.
It's a crazy gun.
That was one of my favorite scenes to shoot. Mm-hmm. I think just because it was so different from everything else that Stowe does and Stowe did on the season, during the season. And I really love Frankie as an actor.
Yeah.
So it was a real treat to get in there and do that. We still play each other... Scrabble. Words on Friends. We send each other words every day. And I'm kicking his ass.
For
the record.
So, I love that scene with you two at the bar because I feel like it felt like both the characters are enjoying telling the other to F off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, of course, Sugar must be afraid at some point.
Yeah, well, he knows. Yeah. He knows his number's up the moment I walk in the door.
Exactly.
Yeah. So did you decide that Colonel Stowe is a Maker's Mark kind of guy? Or, I mean, how did this come about? You could order whatever you want, and you ordered the Maker's.
No, that Adam Togham and Jonathan, that was all there. They had him pegged as a Maker's Mark.
All right, so a little more than Jack Daniels.
Yeah, man, just exactly.
I just want to do a quick shout out for Adam Targum because Relativity just tapped him to adopt the Fearless book. He talked about it last time.
Yes,
but
yes.
It's been picked up by Relativity. That's fantastic. So congratulations!
Yay, congrats, Adam.
That was my news and gossip.
Oh, was it? You should have told me. We were talking about PTSD.
He likes to keep it a surprise, so he's fresh.
Do we have like a news and gossip?
Yeah, segment. And we that's like when that. We're supposed to do those kinds of chatter.
Okay.
You know what? Let's take this strange second to talk about iTunes. Because you know, the best way to support AfterBuzz TV is to go to iTunes and rate and review the shows that you listen to or that you watch on YouTube. It's quick, it's easy, it doesn't take more than a second, and it doesn't cost you a single solitary dime. You can also go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV, and subscribe to our channel. Your subscriptions, your ratings, your reviews help keep us alive. They're how we get our sponsors, and how we get great guests like Langley. It's how they know that we have a quality network here with great shows. So please continue to support the network. You also get a great shout out here on the show.
Yeah, you do. This one goes out to, don't know how to say this, Gifumara. I wish I had thought to look for the Banshee podcast a while ago because it is superb.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Also from, why are these names so difficult? This is like just
It's a bunch of letters all together.
JD, NXN, something long word. Onomatopoeia. Fantastic podcast for Banshee babes.
Oh,
and Banshee.
It's catching on.
There we go.
Phenomenal accompaniment to the best show ever.
Yes.
Boom.
Did you just say Banshee babes?
Yes, Banshee babes.
Banshee babes.
Should it not be a drinking game?
I think it should.
Yes.
Not that we advocate.
We would never do that.
Right.
And then this last one says Matt Lieberman is a riot.
Oh.
He is.
I would say he's more of a sit-in, maybe a peaceful podcast.
Come on, man. Even on air.
No, I appreciate
awesome
it.
Awesome podcast insights to the hardest working man at AfterBuzz.
Oh, whoa. That's very, very kind.
That's so sweet of them to talk about me.
Yeah, it's very sweet of them to talk about Stephen Lemieux.
I would have said Stephen Lemieux.
Yeah,
so sweet
100%.
Too. Kevin Undergaro. I don't know. Any of these people. Very hard.
All right. In any case, We need to move on just because we're short on time and I want to talk about everything in this episode. We're going to come back to Langley, and please feel free to jump in on any of these. So let's talk about Job and Sheriff Hood, who we finally get to see the moment that they meet in this episode, which was stellar. We had Hoon Lee, I believe, tease that a few episodes ago with us that we would finally get to see it, and it did not disappoint. I love Job's 90s hair.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Langley pointed out that the Twin Towers were in the background during that chase scene, which I didn't notice.
Yeah.
But I love that Hood was the assassin, was sent in to assassinate him, and that's how that whole thing started.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a marriage of convenience that became something more.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally get to see the moment even when Sheriff Hood's identity was erased from the world. Like, it's something that, you know, had to have happened at some point, but I never thought about it. I was never like, yeah, that must have happened at some point. I was like, oh, the government must have did it. No. We also are introduced retroactively to a new character, Dalton, who is someone that Hood was working for at one point, and Job as well. So maybe, much like how Brantley was mentioned in Season 2 and then came in Season 3, maybe this is a figure that will rear his ugly head in Season 4.
I think for sure.
Yeah?
Sure. Yeah.
Also, like, there was a really cool, like, sort of meta reference to Clint Eastwood in there, the man with no name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's just say. I just thought it was cool. Like, you know, you have him losing Siobhan in, like, his closest relationship. And his other closest relationship has to be Job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, you have them, like I said, sort of at the top, that they're having, like, almost like this, like, ex-lovers quarrel or something like that. But then they're
breaking up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a breakup.
Job is even like,
with him, like,
I'm
on
done.
The phone with him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but stylistically, you pointed out, they didn't
need to tell us this was a flashback, this was 1994, this was, I mean, with the background, the Twin Towers,
the face.
With the
face moving.
Yeah, Jobin is like smashing pumpkins.
Yes, exactly. we knew immediately. I mean, it was nice to see Hood without a beard, but more so with the other aspects of this scene. Also, you know, you were pointing out the only person who knows who Hood really is besides Hood is Job. He has that on him.
Yeah.
It's true.
He knows his name is Gary.
Yes. Yeah. Gary. No,
it's what Ant says his name is.
It's a huge bummer that they're on the rocks. I have to hope that rescuing him will change things and bring things back to normal. But honestly, I have no idea whether or not these two will ever patch things up.
Yeah.
Which is a huge problem for us Job fans, because that kind of leaves Job with no reason to be on the show.
We'll find a reason.
Yes.
We'll find a reason.
Is anyone afraid that next episode Job bites it?
I'm afraid, and I don't... Let's not talk about it, because I don't want to will it into existence, though it's already been written and shot.
Look, guys, we have to be realistic here. In this finale, someone has to die.
For sure.
Someone has to die. We are too deep in shit right now.
I think this
for
is predictions
everyone,
territory.
I know.
This is predictions territory.
It's not going to be Job. It's not.
It can't.
First of all...
But if it's not Job, it's Sugar.
It could be Sugar.
Yeah, it probably could be
but
Sugar.
You can't take away the characters, both characters that are most important to Hood. I don't think that you can do that.
Well, you can't take away both.
But Job is so rich.
Job, they can't take him away. Siobhan's away.
They've already taken away Siobhan. They can't take away Job as well. And then he has really kind of no one left. His relationship with Anna's.
Langley, you want to weigh in on this, please?
I'm just enjoying watching you guys. you know, I think you need to bear in mind that this is all building up to an incredible showdown at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Lonnie Peristere has made reference to kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, draw your own conclusions from that.
Mm-hmm.
This is Banshee. And
hashtag blood in Banshee.
Do you really see this season finale going down without someone dying?
I see someone dying. I just feel like, man, like, can we have another
big character
on the show?
It definitely cannot be Cervito. It cannot be Brock.
It better not be
that
Brock.
He's
essential.
Yeah.
Brock's beard, essential.
It's essential. Yeah. Hashtag Brock's beard.
Yeah. so we'll see what happens with that in the finale. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about Kai, who's in deep, deep crud this episode. Mm-hmm. He's been kidnapped by Fraser, who is played by, Ron C. Jones, who was also on Low Winter Sun.
Really?
He was Reverend Lowdown on Low Winter Sun.
Yes,
he was the best part of that show.
That only lasts one season or
something. Yeah, for reference, Matt and I met on Low Winter Sun.
On the after show for Low Winter Sun, and we had to watch that whole thing, and it was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. But
we made it.
It's such a pleasure to see him back on TV, and he is a thoroughly intimidating presence, cold as ice, just like Kai. And I love watching Ulrich Thompson in this scene as he realizes that the reason why Fraser kidnapped him is something he had no idea about. But then, rather than push the issue, he also knows there's no point.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point in pushing the issue. Fraser's not going to ever buy that this didn't actually happen or that it wasn't under his control. And also, it makes him look weak to admit.
That's what I was going
to
say. Yeah, I think that moment where he asks about the drugs or whatever, and they drop it in front of him, and he kind of plays it off as if he kind of knew about it, but maybe he was hiding it, is exactly that he can't look weak in front of him. And also that the reason that he's in this situation is because of Emily. Emily sort of made him weak, and I see him taking some ownership putting himself
fault.
In this position. If he'd remained
you have to go there.
If he'd remained strong and been the person or the guy that we know, and you know, obviously he was grieving over his mother and stuff like this, but if he'd remained that person, this stuff with Rebecca would have never gone outside of his understanding, I don't think.
Exactly.
Because he's got a tight grip on his organization.
But I take issue with that because he's not.
I see you.
Was he weak? For being human, for feeling feelings, like
vulnerable,
but he should have stayed strong. Like, I was loving that development. This
Me
is
too.
Way more
I
fun.
Think it was cool, but I think
I love seeing his humanity.
I think he's a character who realizes that he can't be vulnerable like that.
This just shows it just takes a nice, good beating to get Kai Pratt
Kai Proxer back to being Kai Proxer.
Apparently.
Well, yeah, if he had remained strong, unyielding, inside of his niece, then none of this would have happened. But he took his eye off the ball and his niece. And then she had to go and make some decisions of her own. He has been the least involved in his business this season that he's ever been. Normally, he has his eyes on everything. He's leaving things to her, she's screwing up, and then he's not recognizing that this is a cry for help because he's too busy trying to redeem himself. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, you can't have one foot in and one foot out if you are a criminal.
And that's what he realizes.
Yeah.
When especially like when he's getting like beat, you've got like flashes of his like baptism, which you know could be seen as like being born again or something like that. And this is, to me, him being like reborn as like
100% visually, because we get that baptism by fire as he sets these men ablaze.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome. That was spot on. I'm saying that was spot on.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You were saying something cool about Ulrich how much you guys talk like in between episodes?
No, he's just been very complimentary and just sent me a couple of emails from wherever he is in the world right now. I guess he's back in Denmark somewhere, but I think he's making his way soon to Pittsburgh.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, enough with just labeling Stowe as the crazy one.
Yeah.
Because this chiropractor guy's got some issues of his own.
Right, sure. He's just had more years to internalize the crazy. Like, you still are dealing with it out loud. He now is just dealing with it all behind the eyes.
Well, I feel with Kai, like, Banshee is his town. He is this notorious mayor. I mean, he needs to fulfill that once again.
He's definitely he keeps the lid on whatever craziness is inside. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a handle on it. That is the, you know.
Can we talk about? Are we going to talk about Frasier at all?
Let's talk about Frasier.
With the eye situation.
Well, not just the eye situation.
Blind. Right.
Yeah. It was actually, I'm trying to find my question and I can't find it. But one of our fans mentioned that he thinks Frasier recognizes Hood's voice. When he goes, the voice of reason. And then he goes, Sheriff? And so I thought that was interesting. I didn't quite pick up on that, but I thought that was an interesting theory.
I don't think necessarily that he knows Sheriff Hood. I think that as somebody who is blind and is a criminal, he recognizes someone who is a player.
Sure.
And is stunned to discover that someone who is so firm and is like definitely somebody who has been around the
block.
He's
a criminal.
He's savvy in the world of the underworld.
He sounds like a criminal. Yeah. He sounds like a criminal who knows what he's talking about, who's not fumbling at anything. To find out that that guy is a sheriff must be a huge surprise.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm sorry. I mentioned like the eye situation because like in the opening shot of when the close up of when we really see Frasier with his glasses off, like I feel he's the type of guy that really looks into your soul. So with Hood, immediately. Without even seeing, he knows this person. He has just saw the soul of this man.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, criminals always recognize him for who he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he doesn't talk like a cop.
But listen, Job says that in our flashback. He's like, I deal with criminals because at least I know what I'm dealing with.
Right.
You know, they've got this same code, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Because with cops, they could either be honest cops or they could be dirty cops. But if a criminal is a criminal is a criminal.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
All right. So, obviously, Rebecca, not thrilled that she landed her uncle in some serious, serious crud. So, she goes to Sheriff Hood looking for some help. And he's not into it.
Nope.
Not into it at all.
Nope.
Sorry. Oh, he's going to kill him? That sucks.
Yeah.
Tough luck.
Yeah. Which, good thing she runs into Brock, who is furious to discover that Emily is along with him and drags Hood along for what he is just, it's going to be the most daring breakout of all time.
Yeah, well, he's got to be calling him out for like, look, I just helped you go after this guy who killed your woman. Like, are you really going to let this happen?
Yeah. So he marches in with his gun and nearly gets himself killed before Hood shuts it down and is like, look, we just want the woman. You can keep him.
Yeah.
And Frasier is so absolutely like tickled by this. It's just like, what? Mm-hmm. Okay. And that settles that. But Kai Proctor is never going to forget this moment.
is never going to forget Sheriff Hood leaving him to die.
Oh, no, it's going to come back to bite him, I'm sure.
100%. Yeah, there's mm-hmm. no love lost between the two.
Well, during this scene also, I mean, it did give a chance for Hood and Job to rekindle. I mean, Hood at least used his last, hopefully not last favor with Job. It allowed some kind of communication.
Communication, yes, but rekindling, no. Asking for a favor when he's already pissed at you. There's
the
no
lowest of the low. He doesn't even call and say, like, I want to talk to you. He doesn't say anything. He just goes, I wouldn't ask if I didn't have to. Like, mm-hmm. okay.
All right, fine.
All right, I was optimistic here, guys. Come on.
This is Banshee. There's no room for optimism. No room for optimism. Only blood and disappointment.
Except for Corden and Carrie. Are we there yet? That was an optimism segue.
Yes, right here.
I'm optimistic about them.
Right, he hands her the divorce papers.
She's not ready.
Neither of them is ready, which is amazing mm-hmm. to not be ready to get divorced. Perfect.
Yeah, because at the top of the season, you know, they were dangerously close, but it mm-hmm. seems like they may be on their way to a reconciliation. I assume, based on us like discovering that Gordon has some fighting skills and some weapon skills, that he'll be joining the assault next episode.
He also knows what a 5.56 NATO green tip is.
Yes, he does.
So yeah. That's something.
Is he going to shove that 5.56 NATO green tip Uh-oh. In your eye?
Shut your mouth. Anywhere else. Shut your mouth.
But yeah, it's great to see that the two of them are at least conflicted about this, that they're mm-hmm. thinking about it. Gordon is still very much an active parent. Billy Raven gets some screen time.
Yay!
Oh yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
He's back to arresting kids for smoking pot. Deva, you'd think she would have learned from her mistakes. Not so.
No, she can't learn from her mistakes because her father, her bio dad, is enabling her. Every time she gets in trouble, he rewards her with attention.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't she keep doing what she's doing, you know?
It's a good point.
And her dad hasn't been there, right? So he hasn't been, I guess, punishing her?
He hasn't been present like
that. He hasn't
been
present.
What do you think, Isaac?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, he's not really... Yeah, Gordon's not really doing a good job. He's not really communicating or talking to her, talking it out with her.
I think he's doing the right thing.
Every time that he sees her, he's very genuine. He's very open. He's being a good dad.
And he's writing off her homework assignments. She's been absent, and he's like, listen, you need to cut this out. But this goes too far, and I think he's doing a great thing by letting her stay in jail. He's probably going to come back in a couple hours.
Oh, like the next day. He's got to set boundaries for her.
Overnight. Yeah. He was just going to make her stay overnight, but, of course, Hood sees her in there and is like, nah, screw that. Get out of there. I'm taking you home. Gordon, obviously, righteously furious. Like, stay away from my kid. But it looks like the two of them will be teaming up next episode, which is exciting for this fan.
Yeah, and I was thinking that maybe... I just feel like there was a little jewel planted in that scene where Hood asks Gordon about Anna.
Yeah.
And he goes, where's Anna? And Gordon doesn't register. What are you talking about? Where is your wife? And so I feel like Hood letting Deva out of jail, making Gordon angry, this possible reconciliation with Carrie, and then throwing Anna in there, I just feel like something's going to go down with the three of them.
Oh, no. Gordon's the one who dies.
Oh, no.
Don't say that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm calling it right now. Gordon bites it next episode.
And maybe Sugar, too, because I think it wouldn't suffice to host one.
Mm-hmm.
No?
No.
Okay.
I hope not.
No.
Well, we see... I mean,
well, here, let's not talk about scenes from next episode. Let's jump into... let's talk about Kurt Bunker, because we get the most Bunker that we've gotten since episode 5, and I think one of the key... I know.
Take it easy.
He's ripped, and he's intense, and he's righteous. I get it.
It's covered in tattoos.
I was just wanted to shout out Nazneen. Yes, she's been tweeting me about Bunker's sweaty weightlifting scene.
Yeah.
Love it.
How many tweets were sent over one scene?
Just a few.
Okay. Well, fair enough. But this scene between Bunker and his former neo-Nazi buddies lays the groundwork for one of the key storylines of next season. Easily.
Yeah, I think so. Or at least I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Finding out that his brother is the head of the neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
Which is like, we were like, well, why did he come back to Banshee? because his brother, like, he's what, got to get vengeance against his brother. He's got to sell his brother
straight. Here's the thing, right? We go back to his story from episode 5. There was no brother figuring into that. It was his father was abusing him, mm-hmm. and these local neo-Nazis took him in and kicked the crap out of his father. Which means that if his brother was a part of that group and was ignoring the abuse the whole time, and then just sort of launched into it on his own terms, there's something
missing.
There's something very crucial missing from this story.
Well, also, he says, your brother should have killed you when he had the chance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, yeah. Okay. Serious.
Also, by him becoming a cop, he's already a target. They say from the get-go, oh, you are a pig, and that just means, mm-hmm. for them, in their mindset,
he's a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I just saw from B-Dubs on Twitter, according to Mr. Hoonley, Hood and Job are on a break.
Yeah. Oh,
they're on a break.
Oh, man, I did write that.
Never works space. Out. Never works yeah. out.
The trial break. Separation.
Yes, trial yeah. separation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I love seeing Bunker in action. I love how intense and how he's freaking thrilled that yeah. he's here. Yeah. He is so ready.
He is
so ready for
fight.
This fight. Yeah. And he knows that his new dad is totally going to back him. Right, new dad, Sheriff Hood?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see there's just, like, this, like, small moment where, like, when Brock comes in and finds out they have Emily, and he's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this, that, and the other. And, like, he's in the back, and he's got his hand on the phone already, like, mm-hmm. ready to dial.
Yes.
Like, what's the next order, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I love that little bit of, like, just, it's awesome.
He's just ready.
Yeah.
Tom has sent in a question for you, and we'll get to that when we go to our question and answer portion.
I think we're ready to go.
Are we?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, Tom Pelfrey, our bunker,
yeah.
says for you... Oh, sorry, I just lost it. Wow.
Come on.
Fail. Okay, sorry, moving on. I'll find it.
That's fine.
Oh, no. My question for Langley is, will you ride me on your handlebars during your next race?
No. Anyone but Tom, he's a big guy.
And what he means is triathlon racing, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. No, he wouldn't be very aerodynamic. And that's what it's all
Maybe
about.
Maybe he just wants to go to Hawaii.
I don't... Yeah, that would mean me getting to world champs.
Mm. Your top 10 finisher.
Yeah, you know, you got to get on the podium, man, to make it there and... It's just the amount of training that you need to do that is not realistic.
With all that heavy lifting of Tom as well.
Yeah. No, he'd be too big.
Well, that's the thing, though. If you use him on your practice bike, your practice rounds, you'll be working that much harder to go fast. So
I could run with him on my shoulders.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Well, but that's what I'm saying. You train with that extra weight, and then once you shrug it off, you'll be
And he'll get me to Kona.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. So, yes. Tom Pelfrey.
Yes.
I will take you on my bike.
Beautiful.
Only for training.
Anywhere.
Any other questions?
We have a lot of questions about your backstory as far as Colonel Stowe. How
yeah.
much you've been given and how much you have had to fill in the blanks.
Yeah. You know, we touched on earlier, but there was a fair amount of kind of backstory exposition that Stowe goes into in his office mm-hmm. when he's talking to Haddock. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, this guy is highly decorated, highly competent, professional recon marine leader,
mm-hmm.
Who at some point in time has, you know, I think what goes down in Afghanistan leads to him going through some kind of breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the powers that be realize that he's no longer the competent, efficient professional that he was, and he gets passed over, and he gets you know, he doesn't get demoted, but he ends up being in charge of this old antiquated military base that is, you know, demilling mm-hmm. all this gear from the war zone. I mean, you know, as a serious operator, that is not where he wants to be
mm-hmm.
and what he wants to be in charge of. And I mean, his backstory, you know, like I said, he's a patriot. He's a very physical being, and he recognized that early on in his life, and there was a calling to being a professional military man. His fighting skill set is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, what else can you say?
That's good. That's enough.
I mean, in terms of me preparing for this guy, I think I was given a 7-month boot camp, if you will, 8 years ago when I shot Generation Kill for HBO, which mm-hmm. was it was just such a fortunate kind of coincidence where
that's David Simon right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Ed Burns, and I fell in love with the U.S. Marine Corps while playing a recon Marine, and so a lot of my knowledge of the Corps that I used for Stowe came from those 7 months that I spent where the couple of my good mates on that show were recon Marines themselves who actually trained us. Mm-hmm. And were the military advisors in the show, and so that helped me preparing for the role and just kind of being in the right mental state.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Cool. Now, how does it feel to play a bad guy? Usually, personally, I always think bad guys are more rich in character, in depth. How do you feel playing the bad guy, the villain, or one of the many villains in Banshee?
This show in particular, I've never been on a show before or been involved in a project where I've just looked forward to reading the next episode as much as I did. And I think the whole cast felt like this. We just couldn't wait to get our hands on the next script. I love playing this character. He's such fun. I think I like playing characters that are this dark because I get to go there with absolute freedom,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and explore that side of myself and feel safe to do so. I think bad guys have more fun.
Yeah, that's true.
I wanted to know, actually, we got a fan question from Christine. Your experience as an actor torturing Carrie or Ivana. I mean, she takes a beating and her performance is incredible, but how was that for you?
Yeah, that was probably the hardest place for me to go to.
Mm-hmm.
The weird contradiction about me and the characters that I often play, and this character in particular, is that I'm not a big believer in violence, any kind of violence. I'm terrified of real guns. Except Adam Targum will probably, he'll have something to say about that because he took me to the range down in South Carolina, and we had a lot of fun. But I abhor any kind of violence, especially violence towards women and children. And I guess there it's just it's finding the truth in it and finding Stowe's motivation for punishing her. And at the end of the day, even though there is serious emotional motivation here to hurt her,
mm-hmm.
which you see at the end of the scene when I hand it over to Murphy to carry on. I mean, there is almost this kind of, he's almost having an orgasm when he hears her.
He's satisfied. He likes it a lot.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was kind of tough to go there, especially because Ivana is such a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. She is such an angel of a human being. Then you got to remember you're playing, and you got to enjoy it. You got to enjoy whatever it is that you are doing.
Right. Yeah. I got an actor question for you.
Yeah.
In twofold, did you audition in your accent or an American accent? And if you did do the American accent, when did you drop it and let them know your real voice?
Oh no! They knew from the word go. I was in South Africa.
Okay.
At home when Banshee contacted me mm-hmm. about the part, and Greg had seen a bunch of stuff that I'd done, so he was fully aware, everyone was fully aware of where I was from
mm-hmm.
and what I sounded like. But I've played America enough to know. I think Alexa Fogel was the casting director on this on this show, and she's mm-hmm. also the casting director on Generation Kill.
Oh, great.
And I'd had about 5 or 6 auditions for GK with her, mm-hmm. so she knew that I could do the accent, so that was never an issue.
Okay.
Great. Well, unfortunately, we are running out of time, mm-hmm. So it's time that we jump. Well, actually, Isaac, do you want to talk about that news and gossip?
I guess I can expand on it.
Yes.
TV news.
Isaac, what news do you have for us this week?
Hot off the presses. We haven't heard this yet.
I'm so excited.
relativity sets Adam Targum to adapt SEAL Team 6 hero tale Fearless.
That's great.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yay, Adam Targum. Shout out.
I think he works on Banshee. He writes
the majority of episodes. But yes,
the tale of Adam Brown, SEAL Team 6 operator, who overcame personal demons, including drug addiction and jail time. It's going to be great.
Awesome. Well, congratulations.
The books are supposed to be incredible.
Yeah. Congratulations, Adam, and I look forward to seeing it. All right, it's time for predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Season finale. Two words, both look forward to and dreaded the world over. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say it right now. Just game maker odds. Gordon bites it, 2-1. Sugar bites it, 3-1. Job bites it, 10-1. Carrie bites it, 20-1. Hood bites it, 100-1.
Okay, love it.
A million to one, except for all but Gordon. I could see Gordon biting it, but a million to one for anyone else.
Really? Sugar too?
Yeah, sugar too, man. Don't you touch my sugar.
I love your sugar. I wouldn't want to get rid of your sugar. I want all your sugar.
We got some good lines.
Samantha Worthen, who plays Rebecca's mom, I believe, just shouted us out and said we're on fire tonight.
Oh, well, yeah. Thank you so much. It's very kind of you. Anyone else thoughts for next episode?
Well, yes, we're going to see. I mean, whatever happens to Stowe, I feel that ring is going to come off his finger in some way. Is really good. He keeps on twisting the ring. Uh-huh. We always see that in the beginning credits. Boom, in some kind of epic fight. I feel that's like the first thing that's going to come off the ring and all that. Also, I feel...
Wait, let him answer. He said it's on the tip of his tongue.
He's got something.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just nodding along. Look, the ring, there's something definitely happens with that ring.
Mm.
The ring is involved.
Good call.
And you know that there's going to be a massive kind of showdown, like there is in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. But you know that is not necessarily the only massive fight scene or sequence that you're going to see in the episode. And you know, I think a lot of people are expecting Hood to meet, you know, Stowe head on.
Yeah.
I'm just putting it out there may be another character that gets involved.
Yeah. Can I make predictions?
Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm being such a loud mouth. I think Carrie gets to kick some ass after getting beaten. I hope she gets to kick Colonel Stowe's ass. Sorry.
At the very least, you're number two guy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. And then also Kai, I think... I really want to see Kai torture Rebecca because I'm sick. But what she did to him was just, to me, you can never come back from that. But I think what will happen instead is he will take all of that anger and turn it on the next
Frasier.
Ron Frasier on his enemy. And then the other thing is that I'm hoping we're going to get an answer to, is that Colonel Stowe knows Hood.
Okay.
Maybe. I think Kai might enjoy being tortured by Rebecca, given a nice history.
Brock, I think, is... I mean, and Burton's going to, I think, put some vengeance on Rebecca. He's going to put a whipping on her.
He's not allowed.
What's your prediction?
Special
needs. I predict a lot of blood.
Okay.
Blood and Banshee.
There's going to be blood.
Well,
there's going to be buckets of blood.
Hell yeah. Well, Langley, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the show. Where can the people find you online?
I guess I'm on Twitter at Langley Kirkwood.
Okay. And is there anything else coming up you want people to know about?
I'm shooting something next month. I'm not going to give away what that is because, you know, maybe it's season 4 of Banshee.
Maybe.
Ooh.
Then again, maybe not. But I'm going to be shooting a project, starting next month.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming. You've been an absolute delight.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Yeah. Manas, where can the people find you?
Find me at Rest Fiction. Just check out restaurantfiction.com. That's what it stands for. I think all of you fanshies, you know, out there would really enjoy. On also iTunes, Restaurant Fiction.
I'm Miss Oriana Leo on Twitter, Oriana Leo on Instagram. I'm cleaning up my YouTube page and creating makeup chair diaries for you all, so please find them, enjoy them, tweet me. I love the conversations with my Banshee babes.
Oh, man, I was going to say Banshee babes.
You can.
I just did.
Oh.
Hey, it's Isaac Johnson on Twitter, The Isaac Johnson on Instagram, and also The Isaac Johnson on YouTube. You can watch my music video and a short film called The Forge. No coincidence.
All right. And, folks, you can find... Well, no, it is a coincidence.
It is a coincidence.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's M-A-T-T-L-I-E-B-E-R-M-A-N. You can find all my videos for SourceFed and SourceFed Nerd on YouTube, as well as my personal channel, youtube.com/C/Matt Lieberman, and Better Call Saul and Helix here. Thank you all so much. We'll see you next week for the finale. Goodbye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Fancy babes rule!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.